Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Hallelujah. Boy, what a great day. We're going to wait, brother. Bring it on.
How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing well. Love you, too. How you doing, Pop? Well, that's one name that I'm called. I've been called many through the years. And I found out another one this morning was Father Pastor Terry. So, but it's didn't the praise team do a great job today? They always do. They always do. All the fathers, please stand. We just want to honor you today and say thank you so much for being who you are. We're glad you're here. Glad you're men of God leading your family. I'll give them a big hand. Fathers are important. And if you're not a father, but you're a man, M-A-N, stand up. Stand up. We need you. We need godly men. Good to have you. God bless you. M-A-N. Man. So I was talking to Donna the other day, and I said something about we need to get on it. And she said, "What? What did you say?" I said, "We need to get on it." And she's looking at me again, and I said, "Excuse me, we need to get on it." She's from Maine. So she doesn't understand my southern dialect. So I've always said on, like O-W-N, but it's actually O-N. Listen, those of you from the South, I know you know what I'm speaking about. But it's good to have everybody today, and I want to thank the people that served, that set everything up, donuts and tables and ice and water and coffee, Pastor John, Tim, Donna, Lynn, Andrea, Lisa, Gina, and Gabby. Thank you so much for serving. Making the fathers feel special. Making the fathers feel special. Another thing I want to say to you this morning, how many of you are... You are born again. You know you've surrendered your life to Christ. Just lift your hand up. Okay, I hope everybody here has. As we sang about the good Father, what came to my mind was what the Father has to say, what God, Father God has to say to you. See, fathers have a voice. Fathers have a huge voice. That not only do they have a position, they have a voice. And we need to use that voice. But Father God's voice to us and over us as being his children is this. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. In whom I am well pleased. That's what he says about you. If you belong to him, that's what he says about you. Now, you may say, "Well, you know, I'm not perfect. None of us are." But he wasn't talking about your perfection. He wasn't talking about what you have done or what you haven't done. Because when that was spoken over Jesus' life, he hadn't done the first miracle. None. It was after that, and after his baptism, the heavens opened up. Father God spoke over him. You are my beloved son. In whom I am well pleased. He is well pleased that you belong to him. That's something to say thank you, God, about. It really is. And we're still, we sing the song or have through the years. You know, just as I am. So how many of you know you can come to God just like you are? Amen. How many of you know that? Just like you are, you can come to God. But he won't leave you that way. He loves you. Somebody's happy about that. And I see why. He's got a drink. Where was I at? I was somewhere along the line before the freedom. But what was I talking about? He won't leave you there. How many of you, he left you where you came in? See, that's a good thing. Because he knows he accepts you just like you are. As we come, he accepts us just like we are. But he won't leave us just like we are. He wants us to grow more like his son Jesus. He wants us to change. He wants us to be free from all these things that have been holding us up and holding us back. See, salvation gets us in. Transformation makes us full in our walk with God here. That's transformation. And that comes through our thinking lining up with his thinking. Being in proper alignment. That's the reason. See, we come knowing that he's our Savior, knowing that he paid the price, knowing that Jesus did it all. But we also receive the Spirit of God inside us to be able to lead us into all truth, to lead us into things that we know not about. So it helps change our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. See, that's the way of God. So we can't just get the ticket to go to heaven and be content with only that. Yes, be happy about that. Because it's a great thing to have. But to know that you're going to heaven, that's awesome. But see, we have work on this earth to do for his kingdom because there's more than me on this earth. There's people on this earth that we need to be able to reach, that we need to be able to share with. That changes their life. Does that make sense? How many of you believe that you have shared your life or shared some knowledge about God to other people that you actually believe that it made a difference in their life? Lift your hand. I want everybody to turn around and just look. See, that's the difference that we make by having the voice and then having the life that backs up the voice. Amen. They've heard all about religion, and they don't like it. But they really want the life that they've heard about to be lived and demonstrated in a way that makes a difference in everybody else's life. So what do we say here about God? We love God, love people, make a difference. Let's say it together. We love God. And that's what I want to talk about today, about making a difference as a father. So don't worry about notes. I've got several of them copied and printed for you to get because I don't want you to look down as I give you some stats about some things. But there, to me, there's never been a time when the role of a father has been any more important than it is today in today's culture. Our fatherhood is under attack. Fathers are under attack. Womanhood is under attack. Childhood is, we're under a blistering attack in our culture today. Our kids are not completely safe. They're being taught things that's not of God. You understand what I'm saying? So we have the enemy wanting to demolish the family. He wants to do away with the family. And anyone that's participating in that is wanting to diminish or demolish the family. The family is under great attack. But a father, if I say father, this is what I mean. Father means to be a man who has decided to operate consistently A man who has decided to operate consistently under the governing of God. Led by God's word and led by the Spirit of God and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what God says about a father. Yeah, you can be a father and father kids. But that doesn't mean you become a father as the Bible defines a father. We need biblically defined fathers to be able to take their divinely appointed place that God has said, this is where you fit into my plan. And this message is for you guys, but a father means to be a man who has decided to operate consistently, not every once in a while, not, yes, I'm good on Sunday and I'm whoever I want to be the rest of the week. See, that's the way of the world. The way of the world only does what people want at that time, but it's not real. It's like, that's not real. I'll do something else later. But we have to understand by not fulfilling this role that God has made for us, there are consequences and there are ramifications that sometimes are hard to repair. I didn't say impossible. They're just hard to repair. So we stand today in a culture, in a society, that God is calling fathers, men, fathers, to stand up and answer the call. The call is not just coming from God. The call for you to be a father is coming from your family. Your family is actually calling you to rise up and be the man of God, be the father that is defined biblically. Your children, they may not be saying the words, but there's a yearning inside them. There's a call inside them that wants you to take your role and take your position. Children want to be protected. Wives want to be protected. They want to be provided for. And they have that call. Your community is calling for it, screaming for it. All of creation is screaming for us to become the manifested sons of God. Sons is the weos. It's not the immature. It's the mature. That's the call. Creation is calling for all of us, not just me, and all of us as Christians, to rise up and become the people of God that satisfies the hunger of seeing God operate through you and I. It's not just that we can say we're a Christian. It's not enough. We have to act like one. We have to walk like we have to walk like God, talk like God, like Jesus. Become more and more Christ-like in a way that it's visible to whomever you're around. That makes them say, "Are you a Christian? Do you go to church?" That makes them have that question because you're acting different. You're living different than everybody else is living. You know, Moses would not leave the place that he was in the wilderness. He would not leave the place that he was until he heard from God saying that he will go with them. Because Moses says, "We're not going anywhere unless you go with us. We're not going to go unless you go with us. We're not going anywhere unless you go with us." And the reason he said that, he says, when we get to where we're going, if you're not with us, how will they know we're any different from them? And they won't. They won't know. If we're doing everything that the world is doing and there's no difference, we won't make a difference because they see us just like them. That's the reason God's presence inside us is one thing we have to have. God living through us is the other thing that we have to have. Which means that we have to die to self and live unto Him. as fathers, as God's people. Because if we do not, if we're not manifesting who He is, how will they know that we're Christians? They won't. They'll think we're just like everybody else. And you're not. You're not just like everybody else. You're a peculiar people. We are a people. We are a holy nation. We are God's people. Are we perfect? No. Not in its stretch of imagination, we're not perfect. But we're on our way to being perfected. We stand perfect in our spirit. We stand complete in our spirit because our spirit is complete in Him. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Ephesians that we are seated with Him in the heavenlies. Look at your neighbor and say, are you here? Yeah, I'm here. But where else am I? I am also seated with Him in the heavenlies. It's either true or not. It's in the Bible, so what do you say? What do you say?
It's true.
It's true. But we have so many things around us today. There's so much chaos, deception, confusion, attacks on the family and children, attacks on the Christian faith. We have that so much that it's so prevalent in our day that you don't have to look for it. It looks for you. You don't have to be surprised by it because it's everywhere you go. The effects of fatherlessness. And I got this information from Blue Ridge Counseling that you can look it up on the internet as well. But listen to this. You don't have to write this down. There's notes. 43% of U.S. children live without a father. 43% of children live without a father. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children. 85% of all children who show behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. Would you begin to say right now, fathers, looks like they're real important. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 71% of all the dropouts, high school dropouts. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers are from fatherless homes. Those struggling with drugs that are adolescents, 75% of them have come from a fatherless home. 85% of all youths in prison or jail come from fatherless homes. 85%. 50% of children living absent from their father have never stepped in the home where their father lives. 50% of them that are fatherless have never stepped in the home where their father lives. No. There's the list goes on and on and on. I'm not going to go through all of that. But you need to understand how important the father role is to the family. And it doesn't mean, home being fatherless doesn't just mean that he isn't present. It means that. But it also means that a father is present but is not involved in any thing in the family and directing them the way God wants them directed. That's also fatherless. He's here, but he's not. I've heard men say, I've never heard. My father say, I love you. I've heard from some of you. I never heard my father say, I love you. See, a father's love is significant. It causes children to do well in school. It causes them to have a healthy self-esteem. It causes them to be have a pro-social behavior. It causes them to not be a high risk to use of drugs. Just because their father is demonstrating love to them. I remember Antoni. By the way, Antoni is really struggling. Antoni Staley, one of our own. How many of you know Antoni? Okay. He just got a report. He's struggling with cancer, been struggling with it for quite a while now. And he's gone through his treatment and everything, and he just got his report back just the day before yesterday. And now he was doing well, but now it's in his bones. Let's pray for him. Let's just pause and pray for him. Would you do that? Don't be silent. I want you to pray. You don't have to pray out loud, but just pray. Just pray for Antoni. Father, you're the healer. Nothing's impossible for you. Yes, this is a bad report. But we want to choose to walk by and receive the report of the Lord. You gave your back and your body to be beaten. And your word declares that by your stripes, we have healing. We ask you to do the miracle that he needs. We ask you to touch his body completely with your presence and your power. May his life be a testimony of your goodness, your provision, your healing. And we ask all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen. But he's one of them that was coming here and when he first started coming and all, and he's how tall is he? About 6'3", 6'4", big guy, big, strong, healthy guy, and an African-American, and he came and I reached and grabbed him. He stuck out his hand, and I just pushed his hand away, I just reached and grabbed him and hugged him, and he stood like this. And I told him, I said, I love you. It's good to see you. And I hugged him every time I saw him. And told him I loved him every time I saw him. He came to me after a little bit and he said, I'm not used to that. And I said, well, you have to get used to it here. He said, I'm really not used to that. I'm not used to men hugging men, and I'm not used to men telling men they love them. And I said, well, what do you want us to do? We're going to hug you, and we're going to tell you we love you, and we're going to mean it. It wasn't but just a little bit later he came and I saw him and he come walking up to me, stand up. He come walking up to me and I mean, come on, like and he's gonna hug me and I'm like, What are you doing? And we hugged and he got me back and did this and he said, I love you. Amen. Really? And he shared his testimony with me. He said, this has revolutionized my life. It's changed my life. I've been a Christian, but this has changed my life. Why is that? It's the love of the Father. It's the love of Jesus that needs to be in us. Now, I'm not saying you got to go around hugging everybody. I'm not that way. You know what I'm saying? But we're God's people. But now he's told me before. As a matter of fact, I went to visit him a while back, and he said, Pastor, you just wouldn't believe it. You just wouldn't believe it. I believe what? He said, I tell people in my family, I tell everybody I see, I love you, and I hug them. And they mean, and he said, the people in my family, the men in my family, is like, what are you doing? What are you doing? He said, I'm going to tell you, just like the pastor told me, you better get used to it. And he told me later, he said, my whole family's hugging each other. Everybody stand up and give somebody a hug. Just go ahead and do it. Just tell them you love them. Love you, brother. Thank you. Okay, I didn't say give everybody a hug. I said give somebody a hug. Children in a family that a father is demonstrating love, they're 40% less likely to repeat a grade in school. If they feel the love from the father, they're 70% less likely to drop out of school. If they feel love from the father, they're more likely to get A's, not straight A's, but A's in school. If they feel loved and the father's involved in loving them, they will enjoy school. And they will engage in other activities. They'll do well in school. When the father's love is shown, it is a factor. It is one of the guiding factors that they can see the emotional stability of children when they see father love going on in a family. You may say, I wasn't raised that way. I wasn't either. I lost my father when I was 8 to a car wreck. But I didn't have other men in my life loving on me. They loved me, but they didn't love on me. Does that make sense? Okay. But in the process of all of that, you begin to see that there's such a difference that a father makes in a home. You may say, man, I don't know everything in the Bible. You don't have to know. Just love them. And if what you don't know in the Bible that they need, go find out from a counselor, from a spiritual person that is going to lead you the right way and learn what it is that you need to give to the children. They're wanting that. If something's broken in the family, It is the father's responsibility to find the fix and fix it. It's the father's responsibility. Now, does the mother have a role in it? Absolutely. But the men are the heads of the home. That's not optional. Do you hear me? It's like the football field. How many of you guys played football? Okay, you see all the hands. See, you stepped out of bounds, and somebody said, out of bounds, and you say, no, it's out of bounds. Actually, out of bounds should be another foot. It's non-negotiable. This thing about the father being the role of the man, the head of the home, he calls it the head of the home. He says, Christ is the head of the church. Man is the head of the home. You know, well, I don't want to be. It's not optional. It's really not. You may not fulfill that role, but I'm telling you something. You're responsible for that role. And he's going to hold you responsible for that role. Well, I don't know how. Well, get around some men and learn how. It's okay. Fathers are extreme. You saw some of the data that you see that how it hurts the family structure and hurts children when men are not rising up to the responsibility that they've been ordained to fulfill. As a matter of fact, over in Isaiah chapter 3, somebody said, I wonder if he's ever going to read any scripture. Well, here's one. Isaiah chapter 3 shows you what happens when a father takes the wrong road and worships other than God. You ready to see it? Isaiah chapter 3, it's in verse 12. It says, O my people, their oppressors are children. Your children will be oppressors. They will be rebellious. And the women will rule over them. O my people, those who guide you lead you astray and confuse the direction of your paths. It talks about they have chosen to follow another God or another way other than Jehovah. And he says, this is the consequences. See, you're not in control. We're not in control of the consequences or the ramifications. God is. We're in charge of making the decisions, fulfilling the roles. We're in charge of that because that's what he said we have to do. So when you see that, it says that the children will go into rebellion. The women will take on illegitimate authoritative roles over the men. The men will become weak and want others to take the lead instead of them. Now, that is not God's way. Do we need our wives? Absolutely. They're our helpmates. I'm incomplete without her. But she's not responsible for the household. I am. If it's broken, I'm responsible to fix it. I have a responsibility from God. See, not only have I have a responsibility from God, I'm accountable to Him. I'm accountable to Him. So, you know, do you feel the pressure as a father? Yeah, you feel the pressure. But guess what? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's the reason we have to go back to the biblical definition of what a father is. Constantly in submission to God's word, His spirit, and His will, what He wants us to do. Yeah, we make mistakes. We just have to make it right. You know, the mark of a Christian is not perfection. The mark of a Christian is when we're imperfect, we make it right. Yeah, look. If you not perfect and you do something that's not right, not the way of God, go make it right. If it involves somebody else, go ask them to forgive you. Don't go say, I apologize. That's not the biblical word. The biblical word is, I was wrong when I did this. Will you forgive me? That's more humbling than apology. You hear what I'm saying? We can say, I apologize and not be humble at all. But when you say, I was wrong when I said, when I did, I was wrong when I did that, will you forgive me? See, that makes it right. Well, because they see that you're humbling yourself and you're recognizing that you were wrong. That's one of the hardest things for men to do. Sometimes, hardest thing for people to do, to admit that we're wrong. But that is the way of God. That is the way of God. So we need to understand, what do we do next? Joshua, here's the main part of the message. Joshua chapter 24. Let's look at this. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods, little g, put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt. And serve the Lord. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. And here's the choices. You'll either serve the gods, the little g, the false gods that your father did. You'll either serve those, or you'll serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. In whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, the places they're living with the Amorites. They're prideful. They're haughty. They feel like they do no wrong. They actually called them the talkers. In other words, they were the talkers, but not the walkers. Y'all get that? We can talk it, but not walk it. That's the Amorites. And they served other gods. He says, now listen. So they're in this situation. And he is concerned about God's people not following God, not serving God. He's concerned about that. He's concerned about them following other gods, doing the things that the other gods want them to do. See, we have voices all around us today telling us things that's not God. We have some facets of the government telling you things that's not God. You have other agencies that's telling you things that's not God. Y'all hear me? We live in a world today that is pushing God out of everything they could possibly do. For us to make a difference, they're pushing God out as much as they can. Creating chaos, creating confusion, even to the point that now they're trying to make the children confused of what gender they are. Not God. I tell you what God got. There's man and woman. There's two genders. Not 400. There's two. That's how God made us. Well, you might get in trouble. You get in trouble by telling the truth. We're either going to take a stand or we're not. We got to protect the children. You remember years ago when the voting, okay, you know, a marriage can be with anybody, not just man and woman. It can be woman and woman, man to man. You know, you remember all that. And I brought a message, and here's just what I said. I said, if this passes, you can rest assured that it won't stop there. That was my exact words. It won't stop there. As a matter of fact, it'll be okay to marry animals. It is already. You hear me, what I'm saying? And I said, and one day you'll see, and I said this, I said, one day you'll see pedophiles accepted because that's just the way they are. Right now they're saying, you can't use the word pedophile. It's minor attraction. You're attracted to minors. You can't say pedophile. Now that's a hate word. And they're going to weaponize that against us as Christians because we know what a pedophile is. And you know what they're getting ready to do? They're getting ready to make it okay for adults to have minors as mates, and it's going to be accepted. I don't know what that does to you. It infuriates me. But it's like this thing about God, we need to do something. And it's like, yes, you do. God, you need to do something. Yes, you do. They're living in the Amorites, and all of this stuff is going on. A lot of stuff is going on, and they're seeing all this stuff. But Joshua is concerned about God's people not following God. So you have to understand where Joshua's at. See, he just didn't get up and say, well, we're going to follow Jesus. I don't know about the rest of you. No, he makes it a personal decision. As for me, now drop my hat. As for me, I'm going to serve God. If a father does not choose to serve God, you will not be able to lead your family in a godly way. You'll have all these influences, all the voices that's yelling and saying that you can't do this, you can't do that. All the voices are screaming. Disagree with them, then you're called names. You know, Isaiah talks about, said, okay, those that are heralding the truth, telling the truth, there'll be a time when they themselves will become the prey. The people that are saying the truth will actually be the ones that will become prey, because they're not going to like it, and they're going to be coming for us. They're already coming for us. Should we fear? No. Nope. We sang songs. No. Nope. No need to fear. Why? I know who God is. And I know he's mine. And I know that I'm his. See, there is a call for fathers to stand up, lead the family, lead the way. But see, you've got to be able to make that confession yourself. As for me, I am going to serve the Lord. It's not, he said, he didn't say, I'm a Christian. No, it says, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to love him enough that I will actually demonstrate my love for him. I love him enough that I will demonstrate in my actions my love for God. So he makes it personal. And then he includes his family. He said, as for me and my house. Now I don't know, and it's not in the Bible. He did not ask his house to vote. Did y'all hear what I'm saying? He did not ask his house, we're going to take a vote. Are we going to follow God or not? No, you're the leader. You're responsible. And you said, as for me and my household, we're going to follow God. We're going to serve God. Now, do we need our wives' opinion? Absolutely. But who does he hold responsible? The man. You know how I know that? Adam and Eve sinned. She was deceived. She was deceived by the enemy. Adam was not deceived by the enemy. He took the word of his wife over what God said. Now, I'm not against wives. I'm telling you, I have one. I'm telling you, why do I know that? Because when God comes roaming through, he didn't say, Adam and Eve. Well, Eve, he didn't say that. What's he saying? Adam. They've already sinned. Adam, where are you? Who's he holding responsible? Adam. Through whom did sin come into the world? Adam. That's what the Bible says. Through Adam. He holds the man, the head of the home, responsible. Y'all hearing me? Look, we can give Eve a hard time, but she was deceived. Adam wasn't. She said, here, eat this apple. It's good. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if it was an apple or not, but I sort of like apples. I'm okay with that. But do you hear me? We've got to hear what... Listen, men, fathers, When God has said it, there's no other vote. When God said it, be the man, be the leader, and be responsible for your family and do what God said to do. Is that okay, Brenda? I couldn't stand it. I really couldn't. I couldn't stand it. No. But see, we're responsible. Men, we're responsible. Stand up and be responsible. We're going to stand up and say, listen. See, he made it public to everybody. And not only that, he made it public to those, everybody else, if they didn't agree with it. He said, if you disagree with where I'm headed, I'm going anyway. But you're going to have to make a decision. You're either going to have to serve the false gods of your father, or you're going to have to serve the gods in which you live in today. See, we have certain things that are going on inside today that are screaming for our allegiance. So and that's what he said. He said, y'all either follow that false god or you follow that false god. But as for me and my house, see, he makes known to the culture, not just to his family and not just his public announcement. See, I'm telling you, if you make a decision today that as for you and your house, you're going to serve God. Everybody in this house ought to know that. Your friends ought to know that. Where you work ought to know that. Where you go visit ought to know that. They ought to be able to see that you made a decision to follow God and your household too. Will it cost you? Sure it will. Salvation's free, but everything else is going to cost you. That's the reason you're either going to have to pay the price, die to self, and follow him or not. It's that simple. We want to complicate salvation and we complicate walking with God. It's really not complicated. He's made it real easy. Make the decision. He stands up and he says, as for me, he said, y'all choose who you want to choose. And he's tell society, the culture, y'all choose who you're going to serve. You're either going to serve false gods, you're either going to serve the chaos that wants to make man feel good. You can serve that all day if you want to. And you can serve the god of the land if you want to. But I'm making a point. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You understand? As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. That's the reason that is a call that is so big upon our lives, that he wants us to understand it, make the declaration, and go at it. Let me say it this way. Let's get on with it. Or let's get on with it. If it's broken in your family, be committed to fix it as fathers. Well, I don't know how. You can learn how. And you've got men in this house that know how, and we can help you. None of us are perfect. But God has assembled who he has assembled here at this house to make sure that whatever you need is provided. That's what he does. Now, are we perfect? Absolutely not. We're perfect? Absolutely not. Francis Frenchman said one time, and I laughed till, I mean, tears came out of my eyes. He said somebody was talking to him about, you know, different denominations. He said, well, Francis, we know you're not of that denomination that we're of. He said, do y'all think y'all going to make it to heaven? And he's spirit-filled, you know, he's charismatic, spirit-filled. He said, do you really think y'all going to make it to heaven? Francis says, you know, that's never come to my thought process. What we're worried about is overshooting it. Okay. Anyway. I like that anyway. Joshua made it clear. He had brought clarity to where he stood with God. He brought clarity to where his family stood with God. And he brought clarity to not just to him, but he called, matter of fact, he called all the people together. Hey, listen, this is a big attention. I want y'all to know that, look, no, I made my mind. I have made a decision. I've made my choice. I've made my decision. As for me, y'all do what you want to do. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what we've got to do as men. We've got to step into that place. We've got to hold that position. And we've got to soak in the very presence of God, the truth of God, the ways of God, in order to be able to become everything that He wants us to become. He accepts us as we are, but He don't leave us the way we are. We have to grow as fathers. We have to grow as men of God. We have to grow as women of God to be able to influence. See, we have made a decision here to sow in to our children, especially our boys. We're gonna sow into the girls as well, but we're getting into trail life. And there's men in here that are going to be the board members of trail life. And it's a spinoff. It's not like Boy Scouts, but it's sort of. But it's not Boy Scouts. It's trail life. And we're making a commitment to sow into the young boys in our lives that God gives us here to be able to make men out of them. Men out of them. Now, you may say, what can I do? You can help. Now, see, they have one for girls as well. But we're going to have to grow into that. We really are. We got to get off the ground with this. And then when we get ready to do the thing with the girls, we're ready to do that. See, we need to sow into these boys, these young boys. Because they're already being talked to out there. But we need to sow into them here and at home. Listen, the word Jesus or God or Christ should not go to their ears here only. It should be heard in your home. It's not going to be heard in schools, most schools, but it's going to be heard. It should be heard in the homes and here. Then we'll see all these numbers. So we'll either raise up fathers and men of God, or we'll build more orphanages. You hear? Nothing wrong with orphanages. We need fathers to take their rightful place. And even if you've done things wrong, just repent. Say, Father, here I am, and I want to be a father like you describe in the Bible. Are you willing to do that today? One last thing. 1 Corinthians 4, we're just skipping a lot of it, but 1 Corinthians 4 says, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten, this is Paul, in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you. I have begotten you through the gospel. To their spiritual fathers, maybe you're not an earthly father here, but you can be a spiritual father. You can sow into other kids in a way that shows them a spiritual walk that maybe they're not getting at home. We can do that. And what he says here, he said, an instructor will give you knowledge, but a father gives you his heart. And you got a father that's following this right here. You got his heart. He's giving it to you. Let's stand. If the Lord has spoken to you today and you as a father want you really want to say, I want to make that declaration, and I want people in this house to know it. I want you to leave from where you are, and I want you to come to this altar right now. If you've made a decision, I want to make the declaration in front of everybody here that as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Whether you're a father or not, if you're a man and you're saying, I'm not a father, but I'm a man of God, and I want to make that same declaration today, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It will come with price. It will come with cost. But I'm telling all of you men that are standing here today, every one of you, God sees what you're doing. And because he sees your heart and what you're doing, he will empower you in every situation that you face concerning your children, concerning protecting children and protecting your family. He will empower you to make the difference wherever you go. It's his power. It's his ability inside us to be able to be the fathers that we need to be, with the declaration that we need to make, to be the men of God that we need to be, and make the same declaration, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I want you to turn around. I want you to face this congregation. And on the count of three, I want you to say, if you mean it. If you don't mean it, then don't say it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hold on a second. On the count of three. Say it loud and say it proud. Y'all ready? One, two, three.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Woo!
Lord, we speak blessings over all of these men and over all of these people. And we ask that your blessings will be so tangible on their lives and in their lives that the next step that they take will be the first step that they make in becoming everything that you want them to be. That they will demonstrate who you are no matter where they go, but they'll start at home. Send us where you want to take us. Let us do what you want us to do. Let us be what you want us to be. Let us be the voice that we need to be to whomever asks, that we can tell them who you are in our lives and who we are in you. Make the difference in all of us, Lord, as we travel through this earth, going where you send us to go, representing Jesus Christ with our every part of our being. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Happy Father's Day. God bless all of y'all. Yeah, hold a sec. We got donuts. If you didn't get your donut coming in, we got donuts on the go.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.